investigator radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Well, all right. This is Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm your co-host, Rich Nicodem, and joining me tonight are...
Nicole Beretta.
And Peter Leonard.
So doesn't Nicole have, like, the coolest last name? Beretta.
Like the TV show?
Or the gun.
The car.
Yeah, whatever. It's cool. I just like saying it. Beretta. Nicole Beretta. That's awesome. So welcome to tonight's show. And tonight we have an interesting show in store for you. We're going to be talking a little bit about Pete's favorite cousin, Bigfoot. And we're also going to talk about all things paranormal. Nicole's got her little book here with her today, Conspiracies and Secret Societies. So what are you going to share with us tonight on that?
I'm a little distracted because I keep hearing this noise. What is that?
It's the alien intro. We're trying to get our background music back, so... We've been told by the wonderful engineers at BBS Radio that it's not me. I did actually, in fact, once and for all, find the right hole. It's just that the updates are not working.
Yeah, Pete's an awesome sound engineer. He's got everything working the way it's supposed to work. But, you know, those software drivers, there's really not much we can do about that. So it is what it is. So Nicole, tell us a little bit about this book you've got here, Conspiracies and Secret Societies.
This is like the encyclopedia of, I don't want to say just paranormal, but conspiracies, anything that you have a question on, up in 2006 and older, because that's when it was written.
Well, we always have a lot of questions. That's why we're paranormal investigators.
So, I mean, there's everything from Bigfoot to...
Oh, Bigfoot, yes.
UFO to...
I don't believe in them.
Let's see here, what do we got? Oh, the Philadelphia Project, you name it, it's in this book. There's a huge index of just tons of stuff.
Sweet. Is there something in there that we're going to discuss tonight?
I just pulled it out just in case we needed some topics, but last time that I was on the radio show, we opened it up and pointed and then discussed it. So that's pretty much what we did.
Yeah, we can throw the book up in the air and whatever page it lands on, we'll go that direction. Well, we only have an hour show tonight, and that book looks like it's about... Well, at least 2 weeks worth of reading material, so
we're trying to get our background.
I don't know if we can hold the investigators on there. So anyways, let's answer a couple questions. By the way, this is my first time back in a couple weeks. I've been kind of MIA as I've been traveling and stuff, but there's a question that was sent to me from David B. in Denver, Colorado. That's right, folks. Somebody in Denver, Colorado listens to our show.
I was going to say, is that
the bomb, Pete? The bomb.
Is that our one listener?
No, that's listener number two. The message says, "Hello, RIP. Thanks for answering my question on the last show. I have some more if it fits with your agenda." Well, of course, David, it always fits with our agenda. That's what we do. Hopefully, Rich. Oh, you mentioned me by name. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. Hopefully, Rich is there because he'll appreciate this one. I'm having a hard time reading off my phone. I apologize for that. If RIP was to go out and look for Bigfoot, how would you change and apply your tactics of ghost investigating? What equipment would then become priority, assuming audio isn't all at the top of the list? As always, love the show and keep up the great work. David, you are the bomb. Let me just start off by saying that. That's my new word for today, if you haven't noticed.
The bomb.
I've said it about four times.
The bomb.
The five. Okay, so let me ask you a question. If we were out looking for Bigfoot, how would we change our investigation tactics? Well, first of all, the equipment would be different. Audio would still be a big part of what we do. Except, however, instead of having a handheld audio recorder and trying to capture a local sound someplace in a room, we'd probably need some external microphones, something more powerful. Maybe one of those bionic ear things. We actually have one of those, too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Where is it? That's right, we have one.
That's right, we have one.
That's probably it.
The thing with those is some are actually toys. They actually kind of work. And then are some higher end ones that are a little bit pricey. But that's definitely one thing we would do. We need some external microphones. Maybe run them, anchor the microphones to a tree. and a place where we can capture any echoing of the sound. The other thing we would do is we would bring those very expensive infrared or thermal imaging cameras that we have.
Yes.
We tried using those on investigations numerous times. One investigation in particular we used when we did a house, they actually came in pretty handy when a handprint appeared on Pete's back, which is pretty awesome. Of course, we didn't have any kind of video recorder or anything attached to it, so, you know, our bad. But definitely thermal imaging cameras, audio equipment. We'd probably bring some non-conventional things like sticks to do tree knocks, which seems to be a popular way for Bigfoot to do communications if you ever watch the show Finding Bigfoot. The thing is how do you rule out anyone out in the woods just knocking on a tree back? You know, I mean, that's sure. The whole thing. That's my whole problem with that type of evidence. But other than that, binoculars, night vision, you know, infrared cameras would probably help as well. Other than being outdoors and having to deal with the elements, the analysis of audio, the analysis of video would be much different because you have to take into consideration critters and, you know, if it's windy day, bugs, leaves, all kinds of things like that. So it's just a little different, you know, environment that we're investigating in. But essentially, it's the same kind of thing. You got to be really, really quiet. You have to have really good ears and listen. And essentially, you got to be not scared of the dark in the woods. And that's kind of what separates the paranormal investigator from the big hunter. Anybody want to chime in on that?
What scares me the most about Bigfoot hunting, even though we have a lot of wooded areas, we have a lot of stupid hunters.
That's right.
Because every year during hunting season, how many people get shot each year because they just shoot things that move in the woods? Not necessarily that you're Bigfoot. They're just shooting at you because they think you're a deer.
Men with guns, yes. That's another dangerous element that we don't normally get when we do a paranormal investigation. Though sometimes we actually do. He was involved in a case where the guy had quite an arsenal of weapons in the house. And when the wife contacted us about possible demonic possession, we thought the best interest for the safety of our investigators if we met at like a Dunkin' Donuts or a McDonald's and didn't go to the actual house that had the weapons. So, safety first, we always preach. Safety first. Wow, Nicole, what did you just do? I can hear myself in my headphones now.
I unplugged my headphones.
Oh.
I shut the alien music off because I don't think it's broadcasting through.
Okay. So we are still live then. Awesome.
Yes.
So as you know, if you've been following this show for quite a long time, we usually do have a lot of technical problems. So we usually...
Someday we're going to get it together.
Yeah, we usually get them figured out.
Someday.
You know? And sometimes it's the board. Tonight we're dealing a little bit of a driver issue, we think, with Microsoft, but on turn we'll get it worked out.
And if any of you out there wants to call in and have us answer a answer, and yeah, 1-888-429-5471. It's toll free in the U.S. of A. 1-888-429-5471.
Now back on the Bigfoot, I would really... If we were to ever do a Bigfoot hunt, I would really want to utilize, I think this is where I would bring in the GoPro. I think we have to rely more on visual than audio when it comes to this. And I would like to also, actually starting soon, I'd like to use trail cam. I'd like to try to use that and see how that would work. So.
Well, the trail cams have captured evidence of Bigfoot, as you've probably mm-hmm. seen on YouTube or mm-hmm. any of the Bigfoot evidence blogs that you find out there online, but essentially it's kind of more hit or miss. They leave them out there, then they're predetermined to take a photo at some time, I don't know, every couple hours, or if they're triggered by something with a motion sensor or whatever. But I mean, some people shared some pretty good photos if it really truly is Bigfoot. But I'm thinking, what else, what the hell would you find out in the woods that's 8 foot tall with a big hairy skin on, you know?
But you know, being the tech guy, Rich, that you are.
I'm a tech guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, thank you.
You like new toys.
I do.
I would think that you would go in there with a drone. Like one of these personal drone camera type things. Where you can fly above the tree levels looking down to see.
Nice.
A drone with infrared?
No, I'm not talking, you know, an Air Force kind of drone or anything of that nature, but a nice little... I don't know if they have night vision, though, but that's...
They could be modified to have night vision.
Two, I think I would also want personally to carry a firearm, only because with the Adirondack Mountains, as you know, there are bear. There are really bears that are in the woods. There are ambush predators. There's little cats.
Bobcats, and didn't somebody say cougars are making a comeback?
Yes, snakes. They say we don't have any poisonous, but I do believe there is something in the Adirondacks there. I can't think of what they are, but... The big cats apparently have been making their way back north from Kentucky and all of that. A few years back, we did that big cat hunt out in the woods of Camden looking for the Black Panther. Not the political movement. It was actually people were seeing a big Black Panther walking out in the woods. And even though the DEC continuously denied such things, we went looking for it stupidly, then realized we better go get some guns because we're trying to track an ambush predator. And since I'm the only one who can't run fast, I would definitely be the one who'd get eaten. Well, not going to happen. First aid kit, I would always suggest bringing minimal supplies just for first aid, food. You never know when things go bad. Compass.
Yeah, well.
Battery operated radio independent of.
I'm not sure a compass would actually work, especially with the GPS in your phone. I don't even know how to read a compass. I was a Boy Scout. I'm sure I learned it one time, but I think now I just pull my smartphone out and.
What is it? Moss grows on the northern side of a tree?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm the only one with special forces training.
You're the only special forces trained person here, so. Sorry, I had to step out. I had a little bit of emergency business thing, but I'm back. Apologize for that.
Would you also... I don't know. I'm trying to incorporate what I see on Survivor Man, because I believe he's the more realistic of the people that live in the woods.
Yeah, he's pretty hardcore. I mean, that is a dude that if there was a zombie apocalypse, he would survive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rick and Darrow and all them should actually hang out with Survivor Man to learn, because essentially that dude knows how to survive. You know... I guess a lot of my Bigfoot information I get off of TV is from the show Not Finding Bigfoot or Trying to Find Bigfoot or...
Almost Saw Bigfoot.
Holy crap, please, can we find Bigfoot? So, you know, but I watch this show just because the comic relief of the guys on it, but also they go to some really beautiful places and they have some really nice, you know, pictures of the mountains and all that kind of stuff. You know, they go to Sierra Nevada, they go down to Florida, Ohio. So... But actually, they are pretty well-trained Bigfoot hunters. They're outdoorsmen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Cliff. I know Cliff will go out for like a couple weeks at a time, go out in the woods and explore for Bigfoot. So these guys are by no means, you know, amateurs. They know what they're doing. They're probably not Survivor Man level, but they're probably pretty close to it. Now, Bobo, I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time seeing Bobo survive without... Fritos and, you know, and cheeseburgers in the woods for a couple of days, but...
But you can use a Frito to start a fire. I learned that on Survivor Man. They burn for minutes.
Fritos?
Yes.
Really?
They're so soaked in oil that they burn... You can start a fire, literally, with a Frito.
Oh, my gosh.
So always keep a bag with you in the car, whether
good
they're
to know,
stale
folks,
or not. But...
Keep a bag of Fritos in your glove box, and if you ever go off the road in the winter and you have to have it survive, you can light yourself a fire with Fritos.
I mean, I don't know the chemistry behind it, but I guess, you know, it's made of corn, ethanol, so I guess there are things that would burn in a... So if that's burning, imagine what that's doing in your innards. But
saturated fat, all that kind of good stuff that we need in our healthy American diet, so...
But I brought Les Stroud up for... Did you ever see his video when he was in Alaska, I believe, and he allegedly was watching Bigfoot there for a period of time and filmed a little bit? I forgot where exactly it is, but the clip is out on YouTube if you haven't seen it. It's Les Stroud, Survivor Man.
Yeah, I've watched it. I'm hoping it's authentic. Again, you know, he seems to be a pretty credible source with the show, so hopefully it's authentic. But if it is, that's a pretty awesome encounter. But you know what the thing is? Why doesn't anyone actually produce an actual video of Bigfoot's face?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look up the hill and then you pan out, there he is looking down at you. Then he runs. I mean, there was a dude that put some stuff on YouTube that was a picture of Bigfoot. And you saw the face and stuff and the head behind the bushes. But it looked like a robot. It was very robotic, the way the eyes opened and closed. The head didn't seem to move in a natural motion. It was kind of like a mask or something, or a bust set up behind a tree. So, I mean, it looked more like a gorilla than it actually did anything else. So
I was going to say, being Mr. Skeptic, what do you think they are in, for real? Are they like some kind of monkey or gorilla we don't know about, or interbreeding, some kind of Jungle Book kind of kid monkey thing? Or?
Well, there's a lot of theories on this. Everything from aliens to like Neanderthal humans. I go with the Gigantopithecus blackie theory, which is essentially this was a species of great ape that was intelligent enough and moved around and foraged enough that when Alaska and Russia was connected, when it was that land bridge, they came over because it was a natural habitat. You got to remember, way back then, in those times, in that era, Russia, Alaska wasn't this brisk, cold wilderness. It was more like a Pacific Northwest kind of setting. So there's a lot of food, there's a lot of vegetation, and they just kind of roamed around, very nomadic, and then made their way into this country. I mean, I read a book on Bigfoot, and essentially they said they actually found bones, I think it was either Tennessee or Kentucky, of a Chinese panda. So species of animals have migrated around the globe. What is so wild or so out of whack to believe that there actually is a species of creature that we've yet to fully discover and catalog, you know? I mean, people are like, oh, you know, we're humans. We know everything. If there was a Bigfoot, we would have caught one. But this thing survived for all those, I don't know, thousands or tens of thousands of years, essentially. And it's been seen, obviously. But it's smart enough where it always stays on the perimeter away from man. But, you know, and now that people have smartphones and people are walking around more with video cameras, we're starting to get more and more footage of it. But they keep a distance, you know? They really do. There's a lot of wild animals you come in contact, you probably don't even know you're around. You know, I mean, I walk out my backyard, I got rabbits all over the place. Very rarely do I ever see one. You know what I mean? They're there. Because I've actually gone up, set my recorder, went in, came back out, and I saw them all over the place. But as soon as I went outside, I didn't see anything. I mean, they're very smart. They kind of have that built-in survival instinct. If they feel a predator's coming or something they're not sure of, they'll scatter. So, I mean, why is it that, you know, Bigfoot should be any different?
1-888-429-5471. If you've seen Bigfoot, we want to hear from you. 1-888-429-5471. So, I know you follow this a lot more than I do, Rich. When they find footprints, is it always only just one, or do they have like a path where they can follow something to? Or is it like just one print when they find? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, why isn't there something they've been able to track? And if there is a footprint there, wouldn't you stake that out logically? Because obviously that's some kind of pathway for them, or traveling point, or food source, or...
Well, that's a good question.
You know, like crop circles.
It's right, like, right. There's been a lot of documented cases of actually finding a trail of footprints. Left foot, right foot, left foot. There's a big stride, but there's actually a lot of documentation on it. I mean, if you ever watched Finding Bigfoot, the flashback and episode where Cliff was involved, I think it was in Oregon, where there was, I think, like almost a 3-mile trail along, like, it almost looked like a sandy beach and through field of nothing but Sasquatch prints. So they have found trails and tracks, but again, they eventually go from like dust or dirt or mud into the wilderness, and then they become very tough to follow. Most of the time when they find these tracks, they're not exactly like within hours of being laid down. So weather comes in, and of course weather in places like the Pacific Northwest, it rains a lot, you know, and things like that, so it destroys a lot of the evidence of tracks. But I mean, they become smarter about this whole footprint thing. It used to be years ago, there's a dude would make a wooden foot, and then he would strap them on and go running around the woods. Now they actually look at, you know, these locomotive experts, which is the locomotion or the movement of humans and primates. And they look at it, they can see where, how the arch fits, how the toes will curl on a certain surface for grip. and how essentially the foot, the heel will press in a certain way. So now actually studying these prints to see that this is not something that somebody could make a prosthetic foot and actually do this. You know, you can see the way it goes in, the bearing of the weight, you know, how the foot shifts. Going up a hill, it'll shift differently and stuff like that. So they're becoming a lot smarter with this. So I think more of the footprints that the scientists are finding are actually more legitimate of an actual living creature, some sort of Bigfoot or something else.
Now, are they vegetarian? Is that the consensus on that? Or?
I think they're what they call omnivore.
So anything goes?
Anything goes. I mean, people said they've seen them carrying deer. They've seen them carrying pigs. Mm-hmm. There's stories about how they'll break the legs of an animal and leave it there, come back and get it. They eat a lot of nuts, berries, trees, so pretty much it's anything goes, I think, when it comes to survival.
So what would the fear of humans be? Just a basic animal instinct? Or, you know what I mean? If they're obviously taller and if they're not afraid to eat meat, you would think that, I mean, I know I've heard of Bigfoot attacks. Wasn't there one like a couple weeks ago, I think, someplace? Florida, was it? Because the lady said she was attacked by Bigfoot or,
yeah,
or
I don't
something,
know.
But...
I mean, how legit is it? I mean, there's so much stuff online.
You know, why wouldn't they eat little children? Not to be disgusting, but it's like a food source.
No,
it's
actually, you have a very valid point. It's a small creature. Maybe because it resembles so much like them, you know, and the humanoid characteristics that they wouldn't. I think more or less it's curiosity. But essentially, it does seem kind of suspiciously weird that they try to avoid humans. I mean, Pete's got a valid point. I mean, if these things are 8 foot tall, I mean, they could almost be considered in some places an apex predator. Why would they be scared of a person walking down the trail with their dog? You know?
You know, like bears will leave you alone for the most part, but they will attack you. They will eat you.
A cougar will. And a cougar's a lot smaller than a Sasquatch. So I don't know if it's because we resemble them so much, they're just not sure. You know, I mean, just like us, we're not sure of them. We see them. Most people who see them get scared and run or freeze in the tracks. Maybe it's the same kind of thing with them. They just don't know. But imagine how many Bigfoot sightings that probably are going on without the person actually seeing the Bigfoot. And I mean that if people are seeing them and reporting these sightings, how many people are going out in the woods and being watched by these creatures and actually not reporting a sighting, not knowing they're literally 10 to 20 feet away? Though some reports say if they're near them, they smell a horrible odor. So, but even again, say they're 50 feet away and just not there. They know the woods. The woods is their home much better than us. But, I mean, I haven't seen one yet in the wilderness. But, you know.
I've looked at Bill Bram's, is it Bill Bram, his map there? And I guess you can, we're spoiled in New York. I mean, we're one of the most populated states, but. You see where the reported sightings are. It's the Adirondacks, it's the Catskill Mountains, it's all the low population areas. Sort of like the Pacific Northwest, I'm assuming. I mean, there's small pockets of big cities and then a lot of nothing. It's just...
Right, right.
So maybe that is how they're able to duck... What's the Adirondacks? 6 million acres or
it's
something?
It's over six million acres. But you know what? For a park that big, and for those of you who don't know the Adirondack Mountains... It's a beautiful place, but it is a pretty treacherous place when you get up into the high peaks. And given that a park of that size, there really isn't that many Bigfoot sightings like you think there would be. Ohio has more Bigfoot sightings than New York. There's no real big mountain range or anything. That southeast corner of Ohio is part of what they call the Sasquatch Triangle with West Virginia. And in there, they have a lot of sightings. Actually, that's where Matt Moneymaker actually had his first... face-to-face meeting with a Bigfoot. So that's a very popular place.
Is that the Appalachian Mountain
area
there? Yeah,
well, essentially, it's got like rivers and valleys. So it seems to me to be a very fertile hunting ground for a creature to live. Water source, a lot of wildlife, a lot of trees and coverage. A climate that's probably a little bit more manageable than the Adirondacks. But again, I always thought that with the Adirondacks there must be like thousands of Bigfoot sightings. There's a couple of real famous ones, but all in all, there hasn't really been a lot of sightings that are well documented recently, other than one that was on YouTube, which is supposed to be Noel Forge. And that looks like kind of like a cone-headed person in a suit kind of walking. Did you ever see that? That's
no,
supposed
I didn't.
To be Noel Forge.
Maybe it was the guy who came to your lecture.
Could be. Could be a dude in a ghillie suit with a big pointy cone. Again, you know, I don't know. But I've seen it, and I watched it, and I watched the footage on YouTube over and over again, and it just looks weird to me. Like, it's just more suit than it is person. Mm-hmm. Most of the Sasquatch reportings are kind of big, bulky creatures, you know? This is kind of like more big, hanging skin and fur than it is actually size and girth. So that's my call on it.
So let me throw this one at you now.
You gotta throw something at me?
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Let us take the Bible now. And when you go right back to Genesis and Adam and Eve, there were the giants that were walking around. Now, if Adam and Eve were the only two in paradise, you just described it. What you just said is what triggered this thought. River valleys, a lot of lush forest, mm-hmm. a lot of green. And then the biblical story that he took the rib and created this, that, and the next thing you know, man's born from it. Could they be the giants that are mentioned in the Bible? That was the species that didn't become human on the supernatural level? I mean,
well, I think they've talked about that in a couple of shows where they're exploring the myths and the theory of Bigfoot. And that's a possibility. There's a lot of history and a lot of carvings and stone walls and stuff about giant men, you know, even in the Bible. So is it tied in? I don't know. I mean, how, I guess it depends on how truthful you think all this kind of stuff is, going back into the Bible times, what's written in the book, which is described. Of course, you talk about UFOs, it's the same deal.
Yeah.
Watch Ancient Aliens.
Going to bring that up.
Yeah, tons of alien carvings on walls and things like that. So
pyramids at different parts of the world, all of the same age. But
then I saw something a few months ago where there was an encryption or like looked like a cell phone that was carved onto a wall, like an ancient cell phone. So I don't know. It's just strange. It's exciting to me. And that's why I do the whole paranormal thing. I'm sure that's why you guys do too. That whole unknown. What is it? What we're dealing with? What's in the woods that we're dealing with? What's in people's homes that we're dealing with? What the heck's in the sky that we're dealing with?
I always love how they portray the old Egyptian, the hieroglyphic graphics. They all look like they have the almond shape eyes, just like your traditional aliens of today. It's just. And then, you know, I'm sure people out there have seen them too, like what looks like airplanes or helicopters amongst the hieroglyphics. And
yep.
I think that's where I seen the cell phone thing too. It looked like actually a laptop or something, mm-hmm. or there was a different one. It looked like a laptop in a Greek engraving or something.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But you got to think now, we've got scholars studying all the UFO phenomenology. We've got scholars and scientists studying the whole Bigfoot thing now. So it's at a different level now, and now they're really dissecting evidence into scientific fact, you know. So I think we're making a lot of headway in that respect, and that's why a lot of scientists are starting to. The more research they do, the more it's almost like Bigfoot is in fact a nomadic ape species, a lot of characteristics of a primate, you know, and a lot of it goes back to that whole Patterson. Gimlin film there, the one that was shot, God, that must have been done in the 50s. When it looks like a female Sasquatch, and essentially, they've analyzed that thing to death.
That's the one that's running near the log, or what looks like
a
fallen tree or something?
Yep, you got a class of thought that it's nothing but a guy in a monkey suit. Then you got another class of thought thinking that, wait a minute, there's a laceration in the leg. You can see the quad muscle flex. You know, the way it walks and stuff. I mean, it's just very intricate for the 50s to walk like that with your head turned, with those arms swaying. It's just, I mean, nowadays they could probably build something, CGI it or build a suit.
Not back then, though.
But back in the 50s, that seems to be a little far-fetched, I think.
You know, now, according to the BFRO, which is the International Database of the Bigfoot Sightings, out of 49 states, because it's excluding Hawaii, just since January of this year, 18 out of 49 states are reporting Bigfoot sightings. That's a lot. That's quite a bit. So, I mean, that's some pretty good statistics right there. And if you go through and you type in Bigfoot sightings into Google, hit news. There's a lot just in the recent few weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's some in Pennsylvania that are, there's actually multiple Bigfoot sightings right now in Armstrong County, PA.
Mm-hmm.
That's being reported. There's a whole article on that. So,
is that near Gettysburg?
Armstrong?
I don't know.
I'll take a trip down.
I know. Should maybe take a hunt down. Pennsylvania, but I mean, that's...
But again, another part where it just has a lot of open wooded areas. Well, not open if they're wooded, but I mean, unpopulated wooded areas.
Pennsylvania, according to BFRO, has, 112 sighting reports. That's the last one reported was as of January of this year. But of course, see, now we have more that aren't on the site. So.
Right.
I've seen a map that correlates Bigfoot and UFO sightings, too, and they're almost identical. That's a scary... That's where they came up with that theory. Like, they might be alien because they're almost always in the same area as UFO sightings.
Maybe the UFOs are studying them, like we are. Who knows? There's a lot of theories that even essentially that they were transplants put here from an alien planet. They're populated here, just like we were populated here, you know? And maybe there's some sort of protector. Maybe they're actually fugitives or, you know, transplanted here. I mean, there's some pretty wild theories. And a lot of them really have no basis other than just some people watching too much science fiction. It's like, yeah, maybe they're like aliens and they just basically put him here. Like, this is a prison. Yeah, probably something you saw on Sci-Fi Channel and started to correlate the two together. But
Sharknado 4.
Sharknado is awesome.
Are they? I've never seen them.
Sharknados are awesome, absolutely. But there was actually a Bigfoot film, a documentary that was on TV where there's actually... It made it look like it was a documentary, but it was actually like a show. And Bigfoot was... I turned it on for like 5 minutes, and I saw a girl running through the woods screaming, and Bigfoot was chasing her, knocking bushes and trees out of his way.
Was this a movie or a show?
It was like a movie, but it made it look like it was like filmed with like little handy cams.
Like a Blair Witch kind of...
Yeah, a very Blair Witch appeal to it. So, you know, I saw the Blair Witch Project years ago when it came out. And it was hard to walk away thinking, oh, that was real. I mean, they did make it feel very real to the people who watched it.
Oh, I thought it was real.
Like, yeah. It was like missing tapes. The people were gone, but they found the video recorders. And they went through the film, and this is what they captured. Then they tried to make, like, Paranormal Activity like that and all those other shows. Now people know it's nothing more than just a movie. But the Blair Witch Project seemed pretty real back then.
That scared the bejesus out of me. I thought that was real. That was legit real until I saw them on the MTV Video Music Awards.
That's yeah, the dude was missing his teeth, were just the only thing they found. I mean, that's like, ugh. I'm pretty sure that kept people out of the woods, a lot of people out of the woods for a while.
Here's one from Mercer, Pennsylvania, 2013. There's a YouTube video out there I'm actually showing them. It's from 2013, Mercer County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there online about Bigfoot, so.
See, it's hard. You look at this picture and you want to think, hey, that's what it is. But 2013, we had the Photoshop of capabilities and stuff like that.
The problem is the technology to help us find this creature is advanced at the same time. Technology to fake it is increased as well. So like Nicole said, it is a double-edged sword, trying to basically find out what's legit. And but you know what carries a lot of credibility with me? When police officers and firemen and forest rangers and all that, they have sightings. Yes. That builds a lot of credibility with me. Because these people would be under ridicule at one time. But now essentially, I mean, they're reporting these sightings. I mean, the whole thing with New York, up in Whitehall,
mm-hmm.
One of those was a police sighting. So, I mean, that holds a lot of merit with me. But it seems more and more people are having... I know when we did our actual Bigfoot lecture up in Woodgate, there was one woman that was there, and she said, I have a Bigfoot in the woods behind my house. I'm like, you have a Bigfoot in the woods behind your house? Yeah, I heard something screaming when I... Well, there's a lot of things in the woods that scream. Bobcats, coyotes, a lot of injured animals will scream. No, it was a Bigfoot. So we wanted to, I guess she had a big pond and behind there was woods. So I emailed her like 6 times to get her information. I wanted to go up there at night and check this out. First, I want to go up during the day, see if there's any prints, see what else is up there. Then I wanted to go up night, set some cameras and do some tree knocks and some calls and stuff and see if anything materialized, but she never got back in touch with me, so that would have been awesome. Because it was actually literally right outside of Woodgate, so it was only like 45 minutes away from us.
Right.
I mean, that's a perfect, you know, instead of going way up 4.5 hours up into the Andronic Park, we get it 45 minutes outside of Utica.
See, call me the fame junkie or a really horrible human being, but if I had a Bigfoot in my backyard, I would shoot the damn thing. Just to prove that it's real, just so I could sell the book, the TV movie, and travel to conventions for the rest of my life. I would take that sucker. I'm sorry. I know that that's cruel and vicious, but...
Somebody asked me that one time. They said, Rich, why hasn't somebody shot Bigfoot? And it's a good question. No, actually, it's a great question. Why isn't anybody shot? Here's my theory on it. Okay, say you're in the woods. You're a hunter. You're armed. Okay? You're trekking deer or, you know, in your tree stand or whatever. All of a sudden, this big human-looking creature steps out in front of you. Now people are like, shoot it! Well, a little bit of your humanity is going to kick in. You're like, you're going to pull out the gun and think, if I shoot this, and this is a dude in a monkey suit, that's murder. Right. You know? So people are going to think twice before they shoot something standing up on two legs with arms and it looks, resembles them. You know? I mean, that's, I mean, you got to, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, hearing somebody in your downstairs or upstairs at night, not sure if it's your husband or wife at home, but you're going to run down and just shoot it because it's an intruder. You don't know. And that's my theory. People, they look at it and they're just so stunned. They're like, what the? You know? That they don't think about pulling a gun and shooting somebody. You know? But one of these days, someone's going to basically be a repeat witness. They're going to pull out that gun and they're going to take a shot at it. And they're going to take one down. I'm telling you, man, it's going to happen. Not that guy in Georgia who said, I killed Bigfoot and I have him in a freezer.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Remember him?
Yeah.
But someone's actually going to take one out. Then they come up with shows. Didn't he have a show on Spike? Hunting Bigfoot? And then whoever's going to shoot a Bigfoot, they're going to have like $10 million prize?
I think,
bounty,
yeah,
or something like that? They didn't find a Bigfoot to shoot.
No.
So, I mean, again,
that's cable.
Yeah. Again. But
so if you're listening, Bigfoot, you don't want to step in front of me if I'm packing.
No, man.
You're going right down.
You see a dude with a gun, run.
Number three.
Run, Bigfoot, run.
Number three, Zombieland, double tap. You're gone.
So I have a quick question.
Another awesome movie.
On Bigfoot. Okay, so I just recently started really kind of getting into Bigfoot. So I started watching the shows and doing some research.
The ladies love Bigfoot.
Love the Bigfoot.
Big feet, big hands, Donald
Trump.
Have
they said anything about how Bigfoot communicates? Besides the howling noises, which I do hear on, do they talk? Do they, who knows? I don't know, right?
There's a couple ways they communicate. There's the howling.
Mm-hmm.
That could be something that they do for location purposes, the trek and prey. Because they may not be nomadic. They may actually have like a hunting party. They have an animal in their sights, and they kind of want to surround it or cut its exit routes out. Another way they say is tree knocks is another way, mm-hmm, that they give way. It's almost like it's so intelligent that it's trying to do things that an other animal would do. So humans can't recognize them. That's what's so weird about it. But there's also a thing where they actually do, they call ninja chatter, where it's kind of like they go like that, and they talk almost like,
yeah,
like an Asian dialect or something. I've heard audio recordings on YouTube and stuff. There's been people who've been in deep in the woods in a Bigfoot area. They say that this is where Bigfoot lives. They set up recorders and they listen to him talk at night. And they're chattering and they say things. And there's another dude who's on there. His name escapes me right now. But he actually has recordings of them like calling his name out. You know, like, Brian! And then making noises going, and people are like, that's so hokey. It's like there's some dude back there doing it. So again, that's the problem with it. It's such an unproven creature that we don't know if it exists or not. And then people are like, yeah, I was talking to Bigfoot. This is what he sounds like. I mean, is it legit? Who knows? But those are the three main ways that I've come across anyway that they communicate.
Okay.
So
good to know.
So, again, if you're on an investigation, the other thing you can do with audio recorders is actually play them and play howls and play sounds of wounded animals and things of that nature. And probably the thing you'll get is coyotes, probably.
Right.
Coyotes are opportunity hunters, and they're looking for a wounded animal anywheres. Bobcats the same way, you know, cougars, things of that nature. So you can get yourself into some serious hot water if you're out there, especially if you're like a Bigfoot hunting yourself or with another person. You should actually like have a party of people, you know, the strength in numbers, you know, because there's more than just Bigfoot in the woods.
Yeah.
It may not be, Bigfoot may not be what you need to worry about.
So we
have you ever seen the movie Deliverance?
Oh,
yeah. Hillbillies too. Yeah.
If we ever organize a Bigfoot search party here, we're going to put together an investigation. We go out in the woods. What are we doing? Are we going to be staying out there?
Yes.
Yes.
Till very, very late at night.
Oh, not overnight though.
Possibly overnight.
Yeah.
If we think we're coming across anything that we think resembles a Bigfoot. The thing is, it's like hunting. When you go hunting, you'll say, okay, I'm going to start at 5 and I'm going to be done by 10. When you go hunting, you're there like till sometimes you look up and say, oh crap, it's getting dark. You know, you're out there, you're in the zone, you know, and you wait. You have to be very patient. It's like sometimes we go on investigations into paranormal people's houses. They want you to start at 8 and be done by 10. And I'm like, paranormal just doesn't happen on command. And some investigators are like, oh, it's getting late. It's, you know, 11:30. We should pack it up. Well, we haven't found anything yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is the same with, like, with wild animals and hunting and things of that nature. The quietest part of the night, I mean, the dead part of the night, like after midnight to when the sun comes up, is when most nocturnal hunters hunt. So that's when you need to be there. That's when everything gets very, very quiet. You know, it's got that very surreal feel about it, you know. Up to like midnight, it's like, oh, it's dark, it's still, you know, you're still like, oh, you know, it's only 11. But when you get that late at night, things get very, very quiet, and you can really sit down and listen to what's going on. So again, you go out, you can't have a timetable when you're going to finish, and you have to actually break out, like, almost like a search party. You got to map it out where you're going to be, find where the valleys are on the high peak, get somebody down near the valley, get somebody up on a higher peak. So you have to strategically position people where they believe where the prey or animals would come in, or where they feed, they might get the best audio results. Like, if you're going to do some broadcasting of calls, you want to go up to the higher point and broadcast down. You know, if you want to basically follow where you think the animals come in, you go down the valley where there's a trailhead coming through, and you're down around there, or put some equipment down there. So it's almost like paranormal investigating. You have to look at the place, map it out, figure what the best positions are, and know how to read a map.
Right.
And that's one thing Matt Moneymaker said on finding Bigfoot. You know, the one thing you need to know about Bigfoot hunting, first off, learn to read a map. Because you always notice they lay out a map, and they're always like drawing like X's and drawing lines and trying to figure out like where the apex of everything is. So yeah, there's a little bit of thought process that goes into it beforehand. I mean, if you want to have, I think, increased results of actually coming across anything, seeing anything, hearing anything.
You want to pay attention to those topographical lines too.
Yeah.
They signify cliffs.
Yes. Again, you're in the dark. You're walking in the woods. I definitely think that, you know, night vision cameras or anything like that would definitely help. You know, full spectrum, something to see 10 to 20 feet in front of you.
Okay.
Like Pete said, cliff, you know. Or if you hear running water, be careful where you are. Because it usually signifies a drop-off of some sort. Maybe
the
2 feet, maybe 20 feet.
The number one rule of paranormal investigating. I just forgot. Don't run.
Yep.
That's the first thing we tell people when we do public events. Scream, poop your pants, do whatever. Just don't run. Running leads to horrible things.
That can be dangerous.
And that's my concern with doing a Bigfoot investigation with a group of people who aren't experienced with being in the woods. They're going to freak out. They hear something. They're going, oh my God, it's Bigfoot. Could be a squirrel. You know,
right.
In the woods, small things sound bigger than they really are. So like Pete said, we want people running in terror in the woods. Even with a small flashlight, running in the woods is still a very dangerous thing because you're looking this way. You're not really down here looking this way. Then there's things like stumps, rocks, holes,
spiders,
stuff like that.
I think you have to be not so much prepared to be running into Bigfoot, but to be running into everything but Bigfoot. I mean, if you're going up in the Adirondacks, what do they have? Oh, they have deer, moose.
I'd worry about the bear the most, and probably the coyotes or fox.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So
maybe bobcats.
Probably my Glock strapped under my shoulder with me, just in case.
The arms.
When the mountain range is called the Catskill, that's a forewarning of what's in the woods.
Yeah. Bigfoot is not what you should be concerned about when being in the woods at night.
Right.
It's all the other critters that don't seem to be too scared of Bigfoot.
Then there's like those 20-foot sturgeons that are in the Hudson River down in lower New York there.
They're almost like great white sharks.
Driving down the thruway, I've always wondered, they have those blue signs with like fish bones on it. It's like a bony fish. And I've always wondered, I'm like, what the hell is this? Does that mean like the water's poison? Like don't eat the fish in the...
That could be what it is.
No, I looked it up. It's actually some rare sturgeon in New York that lives in the Hudson. They're like 20 feet long and they're apparently protected and stuff. But...
Mm-hmm. That's a big fish.
I saw a 6-foot one up at Lock 22. That's the biggest I've ever seen.
Wow. No, I'm not saying they're all that big, but I mean, I'm only going by Wikipedia here, folks.
There's some big fish in the St. Lawrence. There's some big sturgeons in the St. Lawrence.
I'm sure the Hudson, too. I'm sure they have big fish there.
Big rivers. There's some big catfish in the Mississippi. They said there's catfish like 10, 15 feet long. I mean, they're huge.
I'm sorry, I love them hillbillies that just stick their hand in the water and pull them out with their arms.
Wow, that's amazing.
Watch this!
You know who we need to take Bigfoot hunting with us? Turtle Man.
I would love to bring Turtle. I actually tried contacting him one time.
Turtle Man would be awesome.
When I seen him pull that bat right out of the air, as it was zipping by him, I'm like, that guy's standing next to me because they ain't flying in my mouth anymore as long as Ernie's here.
I can see him up in a tree, and here comes a Bigfoot, and he just jumps on his shoulders. Yeehaw, come on, Bigfoot! I mean, Turtle Man's awesome. I mean, the dude's scared of nothing.
I'll see if I can get in touch with Neil. Neil, if you're listening to us by any chance, give us a call. 1-888-429-5471.
Les Stroud, too. Les Stroud would be awesome to go Bigfoot hunting with.
I've watched him for years.
Me too. Love his show. Love his show. I know survival shows are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought dual survival. No, man-woman survival. The husband and wife pair there.
Now watch the dual one. It was two guys. This one's a special force, and one's kind of like the hippie guy. Never wore shoes.
Yeah. Cody Lundeen. Although that guy might be a perfect person to go Bigfoot hunting with too, with his experience in the woods and tracking. And
they killed a rattlesnake and used it to make a water flask out of it. The skin.
Oh my gosh.
They knotted up, put the water in it, and basically used it like a filter for water. I mean, it's some pretty cool stuff.
I saw Les Stroud cook an egg and bacon inside of a brown paper bag on an open fire. Have you ever seen that?
No.
You rub the bacon, not that this has zero to do with the paranormal, but you rub the bacon grease on the inside of the bag, then put the bacon in there, then crack the egg and put it on top, and the grease keeps the paper from burning, and it cooks the bacon and steams the egg.
Really? Interesting.
I mean, you can't, like, plunge it right into the fire, but, I mean, you know, you have to be...
You have to hover it a little bit, but it's still... It's a
job. Oh, my God.
That is pretty cool.
See, Bear Grylls, I mean, I like watching the show just for the entertainment value, but if I'm ever in a survival situation, I'm not scaling a 400-foot cliff. I mean, that's not happening. I'll just die right there. I mean,
have you watched Fat Guys in the Woods?
Oh my God, yes. That's
a good show.
Jericho.
I love that show. He does teach some valuable skills, definitely.
What a show. Fat Guy in the Woods.
I like it. I tape it. My DVR.
Did you see that Nick Groff's new paranormal TV show came in as the most watched ever debut? The
Paranormal Lockdown?
Paranormal Lockdown?
Yeah, him and Katrina Weedman, whatever her name is. Yeah.
I want to say we were contacted for that one, where they were going to lock you down in locations for a week with nothing but survival supplies. But
you know what? I could do it, but I'm just thinking, what fun would that be for the person that's actually in the show? The viewer would be like, oh, this is awesome, man. How are they going to survive? But I don't think I'd want to be the guy that's locked down in the place.
I don't think I'd want to be
that. I'm not so concerned about ghosts and all that crap. I'm just surprised about, like, you know, where am I going to the bathroom? What am I going to eat? You know, all that kind of stuff. But I just don't know how real those things are. Come on. If the guy is starving, you know, a cameraman's here, it's a Twinkies, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. Really? No, no, he's been locked down for a week. No one's seen him. Come on.
Got a team of camera guys.
He walks by, there's a Domino's pizza box down on the ground. That was there from before. Uh-huh. Come on. Really?
Like these things on Facebook. Would you live in Eastern State Penitentiary for 3 days for $1 million? When
yeah.
do I go?
Sign me up.
See, bathroom don't work. I would go on the floor at that point because I know I got $1 million.
Who cares? But they're not alone. There's like a sound and a camera guy in there too. Ooh. They're never truly alone. That's why I get a kick out of it. Like, especially in like Finding Bigfoot. Bobo is going out for his solo investigation. You don't see the audio guy, the camera guy, and probably another camera guy behind him following him, right? He's doing a solo investigation with five guys. It's yeah. like, you know.
Did you watch it?
No.
You haven't
I haven't had
it?
A chance.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
I haven't either.
All I can say is I'm happy Destination America. I guess they've acquired Haunted Collector now, and it's been
Perfect.
Running again. My favorite TV show.
Running the old episodes.
Good.
Only because they used to actually show stuff. So.
Yeah.
Since we only got like about 2-3 minutes here, Rich, you want to talk to him about the upcoming thing at the Shops at the Finish Line?
Shops at the Finish Line. Yes, one of my favorite places. We're doing our Paranormal 101 classes at the Shops at the Finish Line in Utica, New York. We're having it on 2 Thursdays in April. I believe it's the 14th and 21st, Pete. We're doing it.
Let me grab a calendar here.
Looking it up here.
I know 21st is definitely one.
Yes,
so 14 and 21.
Okay. The classes start at 7 o'clock. The first thing on the 14th, we're going to run 2 hours. And the second one on the 21st, we're going to 2 hours of training. Then we're actually going to do an investigation of the shops. Then get together and go over some evidence afterwards. The people in the shops are still very nice. Tickets are $40. And they're going to have food and everything available. Of course, you'll have to buy your own food and stuff, your own beverages. But they have Utica brews in there. They have wine, soda, all that kind of good stuff. And we know the place very well. It's pretty nice in there. So if you want to learn about the paranormal from your friends at Rome Investigates the Paranormal, myself, Nicole, Pete, Dave, and some of the others, please come by. We'll teach you everything you need to know to be dangerous at paranormal investigating. We're not going to give you all of our secrets, but we're going to teach you the basics so you can walk out of there and go do an investigation.
But we will give you chocolate cake.
Yes, chocolate cake. Wait a minute, we're doing chocolate cake?
If they graduate, they have to pass the exam. They'll have chocolate cake.
I'll see, nobody mentioned cake.
So
it's
a grueling
online
exam than chocolate cake.
With all the Italians around here, we got to have a chocolate oil cake. Madonna. You can't have an event and not have the string lights without a chocolate cake.
Every event that we do, Pete makes sure there is food.
There's food.
April 10th, we'll be at Salem Con 2. Be me, Nicole, Dr. Dave, and Amanda, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Salem Con 2. I didn't even go to Salem Con 1.
Well, we need to get you to go to one con so you
it
can
always,
have some rip fun.
It always happens that when I'm doing that one event I do in Wisconsin or Minnesota, every time. It's always that same weekend. So
we'll make sure you're included. And then there's the Crypto Paracon in Rome coming up in May. I don't have the calendar in
May
front of me. I forget. 13th?
14th, I believe.
We'll have a booth there. Are we giving a presentation or two?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
And hopefully there'll be more than 5 people there so we can...
Several booths, several presentations.
There you go.
And tomorrow is Sal Lizard's birthday, so happy birthday, Vampire
happy
Santa.
Birthday.
Sal Lizard is an awesome dude. Awesome dude.
I know he had some medical issues this year, but he seems to be bouncing back quite well from
good for him.
That tragedy that almost happened.
Hopefully we'll see him at ScareCon again.
I love Vampire Santa. I don't know if you ever got to meet him, Nicole.
I never got to meet him, though.
He's like this, he really is. He looks like Santa, and then he's just like this dirty old man that you just want to talk to for hours, but... And if you've earned one of his t-shirts, I definitely want your phone number. No. Well, I guess we're pretty much it. We're out of time.
Yeah, that's it. Tonight was Bigfoot night at Rome Investigators of Paranormal and Paranormal Investigator Radio. So.
And if we didn't answer your question, Dave, just shoot us another email. Or if you have something else you want us to talk about, you can see we clearly don't really have much going on. So We appreciate it. No. And what's the email address, Nicole, if people want to send things in?
StaySpooky@yahoo.com.
That's StaySpooky@yahoo.com. So send it over. Send attention to Nicole if any questions, and she will get back to you. Or give it to one of us to answer, whatever she feels like doing. She's the boss.
And at this point, we'll turn it back over to our friends at BBS Radio, the greatest internet radio station in the world and the universe. In the multiverse.
Bigfoot's favorite radio session.
That's right.
Until next time, I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Nicole Barretta.
I'm Rich Nickett. I'm having a wonderful night.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at ParanormalInvestigatorRadio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky. Thank you.